Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading. To order The Juice for your classroom or family, visit us at thejuicelearning.com.
Ever wish you could like sneak a peek into what kids are thinking about these days?
Yeah.
And what's grabbing their attention, the stuff they're really curious about? Well, that's what we're diving into today.
It's pretty amazing to see what sparks their curiosity, right? These stories, they give us a glimpse into those young minds, the things that are shaping how they see the world.
Okay, so let's get right to it. Our first story today, it's about Hurricane Helene and how it hit those schools in North Carolina. But it's not just about the storm itself. It's about the aftermath, you know, the long road to recovery.
Yeah, and it really highlights those struggles that often fly under the radar after a natural disaster. I mean, weeks later, these schools are still dealing with damage, delays, trying to get back to some kind of normal for these kids who've been through a lot.
It really makes you think about how resilient kids are, doesn't it? Just imagine dealing with school closures, maybe the internet's down, so online learning is out, maybe even knowing families who lost their homes. That's a lot to process.
Absolutely. And the story doesn't shy away from the tough questions either. Like what's the long-term impact going to be on these kids' education with the routines disrupted for so long? One school even had to drill a well just to have working toilets. Can you believe that?
Wow. It's easy to forget about those basic needs, right?
Totally. It really underscores those infrastructure challenges these communities are up against.
It makes you wonder how any kid could focus on schoolwork with all that going on.
Right.
It's a good reminder of how important a stable environment is for kids to learn and thrive. This story could be a good way to start a conversation with your own kids, you know, about overcoming adversity. Ask them if they've ever had something disrupt their lives and how they adapted.
That's a great idea. Now, shifting gears a bit, we're going global for our next story. It's all about the Biodiversity Summit, or COP16. Basically, world leaders are trying to figure out how to stop the loss of plants and animals' biodiversity loss, because it's happening at an alarming rate.
Yeah, this one feels big, even for adults. But the story does a nice job of explaining it all, why these ecosystems, from coral reefs to rainforests, are so crucial.
What I find interesting is how the story connects these global goals to what we can do every day, you know, individual responsibility. The summit might feel a million miles away, but the story does a good job of highlighting how even small local things can actually contribute to a solution.
It's like they say, think globally, act locally, right? But this story, it's not all doom and gloom, you know? It actually talks about some positive steps that are being taken, which is encouraging.
Exactly. It's a good reminder that progress, it often happens in stages through collaboration and that shared sense of urgency. And speaking of small actions turning into something big, that leads perfectly into our next story, which is all about Socktober. Have you heard of this?
Socktober? Honestly, I haven't. Tell me more.
So it's really incredible. It all started as this small project, just a few kids collecting socks, you know, for people experiencing homelessness. And now it's like a nationwide, actually, it's even a global thing. And it all revolves around something most of us don't even think about: clean socks.
It sounds so simple, but so impactful at the same time.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about Socktober that's really captured people's imaginations like this?
Well, the story mentions a few things. One is that it's just relatable, you know? Almost everyone has socks. It's a really easy way to contribute to a good cause. But there's also something to be said for how it's set up, you know, how it's structured. The founder, Brad Montague, he didn't want Socktober to be this rigid nonprofit kind of thing. He wanted it to be grassroots, where anyone, anywhere could be empowered to organize a sock drive.
And that approach seems to be working, if the story is any indication. They highlight this one student, Javi Swinarski. He's been organizing these Socktober drives since elementary school. Talk about inspiring. It really shows how kids can be leaders, making a real difference in their communities.
Absolutely. It's proof that you don't have to wait till you're older to make a difference.
I'm totally adding this to my list of conversation starters with my kids. It makes you think, what small act of kindness could you do that might spark a ripple effect? Okay, ready for a complete change of pace? Let's talk about America's best restroom.
America's best what now?
I know, right? You wouldn't think such a competition exists, but it does. And the story actually gives some cool insights into what makes a public restroom really stand out, believe it or not. This year's winner, get this, it's a gas station.
Wait, seriously?
A gas station, I'm telling you. A Maverick gas station near the Salt Lake City Airport. And get this, it beat out some pretty tough competition. I'm talking fancy hotels, museums, you name it.
All right, you've got to tell me more. What exactly makes a gas station restroom award-worthy?
Well, according to the judges, it's all about the experience.
Yeah.
This Maverick, it wowed them with its dedication to cleanliness. I mean, of course, right. But also, they were impressed with the comfort. Think like spacious stalls, good lighting, you know, those little touches that make a quick stop almost, dare I say, enjoyable.
I never thought I'd say this, but I kind of want to see this gas station bathroom now.
Right. Yeah. It really goes to show you, it's the little things, you know. But seriously, it makes you think about the power of design and just paying attention to detail. And not just in the obvious places. Imagine if we put that much care into all the everyday things around us.
It's a good reminder that even the, shall we say, less glamorous parts of life, they can still be opportunities to make things better, more positive.
Exactly. Okay, from award-winning restrooms, we're switching gears again, and this time we're getting a little more serious. This next story dives into the very, very complex topic of political polarization.
Yeah, this one's definitely a heavy hitter. It's all about how, these days, it seems like political disagreements, they're not just disagreements anymore, you know? They're causing real rifts, friendships ending, even families being torn apart.
It's like everyone's got a story, right? Someone they know, or even in their own lives where politics has driven a wedge between people. It's kind of sad, actually.
It really is. And the story, actually, it mentions this poll. I think it was a Pew Research poll. And the numbers were pretty startling. A significant chunk of people, they said they'd actually lost friends over political arguments.
Wow. See, that's what gets me. It's not just, oh, we disagree and it ends there. It's like, these disagreements, they're spilling over into our personal lives, you know,
yeah,
causing real damage.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg, right? Because the story also gets into the research about this kind of stuff. And there's a clear link between this type of political isolation where we're only surrounded by people who agree with us all the time. It's actually bad for us. Like stress, negative health outcomes, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, it's like we've lost the ability to just agree to disagree. You know, like everything's going to be so black and white, no room for nuance or just listening to understand, even if you don't agree.
Right. And that's one of the big takeaways from the story, I think. When we only hang out with people who see the world exactly like we do, it's like we're in an echo chamber, right? It makes it almost impossible to even consider another point of view, let alone really try to understand it.
And that's a recipe for disaster.
Right.
No dialogue, no common ground.
Yeah.
So how do we even begin to bridge this divide? I mean, any suggestions from the story?
Well, one thing they talk about that really stuck with me is self-reflection. Like, before we can even try to understand where someone else is coming from, we've got to take a good hard look at ourselves.
Oh, I like that. It's like, check yourself before you wreck yourself,
mm-hmm.
but with political viewpoints, right?
Exactly. We got to be honest about our own biases, you know, how those biases color the way we see things. And the story even suggests, you know, next time you're in a heated political discussion, take a step back and ask yourself, okay, why do I feel so strongly about this? What experiences have shaped my views?
It's all about that empathy, right? Putting yourself in the other person's shoes.
Exactly. It's not about pretending our differences don't exist. It's about finding a way to talk about them respectfully, constructively. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together.
Could not agree more. Well, that's another deep dive in the books, folks. We've covered some serious ground today.
We have. From the resilience of those communities rebuilding after a hurricane, to those inspiring young people making a difference with something as simple as socks.
And from the challenges of protecting our planet's biodiversity, all the way to those deeply personal struggles with political polarization. It's a lot to process.
It is, but it's important stuff. And the best part is, these stories, they're not just meant to be heard and forgotten. They're starting points, you know, springboards for more reflection, deeper conversation.
Exactly. So keep those questions coming, keep those conversations going. And we'll catch you next time for another deep dive.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice Today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.